Welcome to the Vietnamese podcast. Today I have Ella Quinn, a rock star in the making. I discovered Ella's Facebook and Instagram page through young musicians that I know in the business. And welcome to the Vietnamese podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I regret not being able to attend one of your concerts before sitting here with you, but hey, you're now performing in LA and all these wonderful places. How did you get into the business of music?
Well, I've been singing for a very long time. I would say since I was around four. And I pretty much just had a teacher who saw potential in me, and then she gave me private lessons. And since then, I grew from that. But I never really knew that I wanted to pursue a career, I would say, until this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just this year, too.
So this year, you made the decision.
Yeah.
It looks like you've been at this for a long time.
I have. And for, I would say most of my life, it was just like, oh, it's for fun. And to this day, it is still for fun. But I think I never really thought that I had a chance up until the release of Iconic.
Wait, why didn't you think you had a chance?
I think part of it was growing up, I never really had pop idols who necessarily looked like me. So that's a big reason as to why I do this, because I do want to be kind of like that Vietnamese representation in like the pop rock scene to let other like little Vietnamese girls know that they can do this as well.
Your mom and dad, were they on board with this like growing up?
Yeah, I think definitely my family has been my number one fans ever since like I was little. They'd always come to my shows. My dad, he's like my dadager.
Yeah.
And I just think a big part as to why I think I can do this is just because of the support of my family.
That goes a long way. I think when we think about the Vietnamese culture, traditionally it's very difficult for parents to be on board with like us being
yeah.
artists.
I mean, a traditional path, I mean, of course these are great jobs, but typically it's a doctor or a lawyer. And I think that's also kind of why I was iffy about it, because I was just thinking, should I just go the traditional path or should I just stray away? But of course, straying and being an artist, of course, is very hard. You never know. It's very inconsistent, but you know, I want to give it a try.
When I think about that word inconsistent, I'm like, who taught us that? I don't know if that's the truth, because if you do what you're meant to do and you really focus on the money, you know, there was this artist that I follow on Instagram, like a fine artist. He you know, is a painter. And he said his whole life, his father said to him, the only thing that you can do to make millions is painting. Can you imagine? Can you
really?
Imagine? Yeah, if your dad said that to you your whole life, he said, when I was raised, my father was an artist. And he said, the only way to make millions of dollars is to become a painter.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine if we did that to our community. Mm-hmm. And it looks like your dad is actually kind of like walking you down that path of understanding.
Yeah.
And I am a firm believer of that now. Like, if we think that we're going to be able to make that money, we can.
Yeah.
There's people making them
money. Yeah.
Right? I mean, what difference is there in what we do and what the mainstream is doing other than knowing people and knowing how to go about this, right?
Yeah. Also, I think a big part as to why I do this is not just for the money, of course, but it's more because I'm just happy doing this.
Yeah.
I think, like, even in school when I'm learning about history, I don't think I pay much attention, or not that I don't pay much attention, but I'm always more intrigued by the art side. I'm just like, oh, that's more fun. And I just think that overall, I'm just so much more happy when I'm with music in general, and just surrounded by musicians. I think that's when I'm the happiest.
What music bands or groups that when you were growing up, who did you follow?
I think definitely, I would say the 2000s kind of rock scene. So Paramore, Flyleaf, No Doubt, those are some of my biggest inspirations. But I also take inspiration from more, I guess, up-and-coming artists, Tiffany Day, Mickey, I think her name is Aisha Tiwari.
Mm-hmm.
But just those kinds of artists where I really love the singer-songwriter kind of thing too as well.
Let's talk about No Doubt.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gwen Stefani, because she's in our backyard, right?
Yeah.
This is who, you know, I grew up following Gwen Stefani's route. You know, when you think about growing up in Orange County, you have two cultures. You have the Vietnamese culture and you have a very white culture. I'm not sure where you go to high school, but, you know, it's predominantly Vietnamese at La Quinta, for example, but I'm not sure where you are, but there's definitely two cultures. And when I think about the two cultures, I think about like Gwen Stefani and how that rebellious nature comes out. But how do you think that culture and the Vietnamese culture affects the way you think about music?
Honestly, for me, I have lived in the area where there's a lot of ethnic people. Mm. So honestly, I think for most of my life, I have always felt very in touch with my culture. Especially since my family, I grew up around like a very big Vietnamese community. Yeah. So honestly, I think that, I think...
So it's more Vietnamese for you. Yeah. So you feel more close to the Vietnamese culture when you think about music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you perform in the Vietnamese community a lot?
No, I have not yet. But I think I will be this month, actually.
Oh, why?
There's a rooftop event, I think, somewhere. But I'm going to be doing an acoustic set with my band.
Is a rooftop event here at at the Asian Garden Mall?
Yeah. It's here.
It's in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been throwing like raves and all kinds of wonderful events here. Oh, cool. Very cool. Okay, let's go back to like when you were younger learning music. At what point did you go, I think I really like this?
I would say I've done a lot over the years. I mean, I started out with just doing like little recitals and I did musical theater for a decent time, I would say elementary, middle school. And then... when I was in middle school and like beginning of high school, because I'm a junior now, I was a part of this band. And this is the first time I ever was in a band. And I remember not knowing songs and my bandmates were just like, how do you not know these songs? And so then they actually made a playlist for me of like songs I should know. And I was just like, wow, it's just amazing being around a community who loves music just as much as I do and and they encouraged me to learn more about music. And I think that's kind of when I really wanted to be a part of it, when I was like, I know that these are my people, you know?
Wow, that is a really cool story.
Yeah.
So they asked you about music and you didn't know some of the music, the contemporary like music that they were talking about.
I should know the older things because I was around, I think I was 13, 14 when I met everyone. Mm. And at the time I listened to a lot more pop rather than rock. But, and so when I didn't know a song, they're like, how do you not know this? And then they would show me the songs that I should know, you know? Yeah. And I think it was really... And then that's kind of when my love of music really started, because I was like, wow, this is really good.
And at any of these points, I went through a music journey, and I can tell you it's scary. It was scary when I was coming up in it, because there was many points where I knew that I didn't belong there. But it sounds like when I watch you on stage, I'm like, you know it. But at... Were there points in your early life where you're like, no, I know I'm good?
Actually, that's a funny thing because I'm actually a very anxious person. When I didn't perform as much, I would get little panic attacks. And I actually would, like, sometimes I'd get so scared of getting sick before a show that I'd actually get sick before a show. And so I would manifest actual kind of physical reactions to anxiety. And I think... It took a long time for me to kind of grow out of it because I'm very much a perfectionist. And I think that's something I'm trying to grow out of and understand that music isn't about being perfect. You know, it's about self-expression. Yeah. And so...
But that's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like... that's really one of the hardest things to do is like to be in real time and just think that you're there to express. But there's a craft to it. There's like... You gotta like come with the performance and... But also be relaxed enough where you can just be in the moment too.
Yeah. I'm probably the worst person to be in a studio with. Every single time I do something, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. And it takes over and over. But then sometimes I have to tell myself, okay, just like slow down, Ella. Yeah. Just if it's imperfect, that's fine. Because what is perfect? This is my song, you know? This is my music. Yeah. And so, I mean, for the performing part, I think also... My bandmates, they kind of helped me get out of it. They're like, okay, Ella, you got this. Like, you know what you're doing. And so... I think now that I'm older and that I've done a lot of shows, I kind of realized that the people in the audience, a lot of it is family, it's friends. And at the end of the day, they're there to support me and that I shouldn't worry as much, you know, because I'm doing what I love and that's what matters. You know?
Yeah, I totally, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah.
You know? Now, do you write at all, or do you write your own songs?
Yeah, I do. So Iconic, actually, from my writing process, it's kind of what I do is either I'm like laying in bed or I'm doing something and I think of a line and I'm like, ooh, I like that. So then I type it in my notes app or on a piece of paper. And then usually I go back and I look at it at night, because for some reason at like 12 like a.m. that is when I'm the most, when my mind starts moving. And so then after that, I kind of build around it and then I put music to it.
Oh, interesting. Mm. So you're like lyrics, melody, and then you put it on.
Yeah.
And do you play guitar, piano? What do you?
I play guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. And so your process of putting pen to paper like that produced Iconic.
Yeah.
Right? Where did the song come? I mean, I've already done my research, but where did the song come from?
So the song came from, so for me, it's kind of just going back to something that's not very good for you. Yeah. I mean, when I was talking to my producer about it, because I actually did it about my sport because I was injured at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's, I slammed the door, but I don't lock it. That was the main part that I wrote it off of, because I was injured and I kept going back to the sport and then I'd get hurt again. And then it was just a never ending cycle. And so then I talked to my producer about it and he was like, okay, let's make this more relatable. Let's make this about a hot guy. And I was like, okay. And so that's kind of how it came about. We bounced lyrics back and forth from each other. And that's pretty much how Iconic was made.
So it wasn't originally about the guy?
No.
Because in the interviews, it's been about the guy. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But so it was about an accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's kind of personified. Because I'm too busy to have a boyfriend. But... I mean, so I mostly write about just past experiences, sometimes movies, sometimes shows, but I always try to get a little bit of writing at night because that's kind of something I've been working to get out of my perfectionist process where it's like more consistency rather than it being perfect. But I think a big part of writing is recognizing when you know you have something good and then building off of that.
When I think about your journey, I can't help but to not think of Taylor Swift. Right? I mean, let's face it, even if you got to like some percentage of wherever she's gotten, that is a good path to be on, right?
Yeah.
Do you study any of her journey?
I used to be a big fan when I was a lot younger, but I don't really know much about her story, actually.
Her business journey?
Yeah, not much.
Okay. I encourage you and probably the rest of our listeners to really... follow what she's done.
Yeah.
You know? And I think a lot of it has to do with like parents that were able to really help her financially as well and really foster that love for what she does. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what an incredible career. And if, you're starting at the perfect time to really push this career, right?
Yeah, I think so. 16. I'm turning 17 soon.
Yeah. And so how do you find... the gigs that you've been playing?
I find a lot of them from my guitarist because, she's been playing a lot of gigs. She's 18 now. She's more experienced than me. So we get a lot from her. And also just kind of reaching out to people. Sometimes they reach out to me and it's just seeing if that's the kind of venue I want to work with. And that's pretty much how we get them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty simple.
Your communication with me has been incredible. It's been a lot, and in a good way. It's been a little, and I wanted to bring that up. I think that music is about many different things.
Yeah.
You have to have the mind for it, right?
Yeah.
The creativity for it, the performance, the stage presence. Mm-hmm. But that tenacity that you have behind the scenes is really going to take you far.
Thank you.
Where do you think you got that from?
My dad, or actually, no, and my mom too. Both my parents, they're very persistent. They taught me to advocate what I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kind of just, if I want something, you just have to put in the work and you'll get it.
Yeah. And I think showing up in the arts and just showing up.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be good.
Yeah.
Just showing up in the beginning, the first few years, is really 99% of the game, you know?
It's a lot of it is just like, I think also part of it, even no matter how small the gig is, we're my band and I, we're going to be there, because I think also it's just the practice. It's just getting comfortable being on stage. And that's something that I think I mentioned before, how I struggle with. And maybe that's why I was so worried and nervous to get on stage, because I never did it as much. You know, so I think a big part of as to why I've grown as a performer is because of the consistency that I've had.
Yeah. And now that you're in high school, you're coming into your third year, right?
Yeah.
How do you think that these next 2 years of being in high school is going to shape your professional career? Do you think about that?
I do, actually. It's something I do worry about. I'm part of a lot of clubs. Yeah. I'm a part of ASB. I'm a part of Future Business Leaders of America. I'm on board for that. I also have my own club, Art for All, where we give school supplies and art supplies to underserved communities. And I work a lot better when I have things to do. Yeah. I think sometimes when I don't have much to do, I'm kind of just sitting there and I'm just paralyzed. I'm just thinking, okay, what do I have to do today? But I think now that I have a lot of things on my plate, I'm going to get through it fast. Because honestly, I'm not too worried about it. Maybe just the learning and the studying aspect of it, because I'm going to have a lot of gigs on top of homework. But other than that, I think I have it.
But if somebody said to you right now, I need you to clear everything out, I need you just music, would you do it?
That is a very tough question. I think education has also been a very big part of my life, mm-hmm. as well, because I love school. Yeah. I love learning. And so I also think that education is very important. So I would say no, and I would try to balance both, because I think as of now, I've been doing a good job at it.
This episode is brought to you by Red Boat Fish Sauce. Some things will never be replicated by AI. The fragrance of fish sauce hitting a hot pan, the sound of your grandmother's voice telling a story only she knows, the feeling of a family recipe passed down through generations that are imperfect, alive, and completely real. Red Boat Fish Sauce has been a proud sponsor of the Vietnamese podcast for years because, like us, they believe in authenticity you can taste. And together, we're bringing you the Viet Story Bank, a recording service built on that same belief. Your stories matter. Your family's memories, your lived experiences, your history, these deserve to be preserved exactly as they are. Untouched, unfiltered, they're human. So don't wait for the right moment. Learn more about the Viet Story Bank through the link in our show notes and pick up a bottle of fish sauce at HMart, 99 Ranch, or redboatfishsauce.com.
Would you give up the college path if somebody said to you, okay, when you graduate from high school, we have a contract waiting, you have a good body of work, you have enough songs to go on the road and tour, and really, you could push college back. Would you do that?
I think I would. I would. At least take one gap year. See how it works.
Yeah. You know,
see how it goes. Because, I mean, I can always go back to college. But I do want to finish high school, of course. But I do think I would do that.
This is so controversial in my mind. I have a daughter too, and she's really into performing, and she likes to sing. And I think about that all the time. But here's my take on this, to add on top of what you just said.
Yeah.
I think when you go on the road, you're learning much more than you can ever learn in your 4 years of college.
Really?
I really think you're going to learn business. You're going to learn how people are. If you're in Copenhagen, if you're in Da Nang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're like on the
more
world stage, and then you're dealing with all these like tough business people, right? It's a tough business.
Yeah.
And your dad's going to be there, your mom's going to be there, your aunt Lynn's going to be there, everybody's going to be there to like kind of like foster that education on the road and really get you up to speed with like having the advantages that you need.
Yeah.
Right? I think if my daughter had that chance, at 14, I would probably give it up, right? I'm learning that when I'm taking my daughter out to all these places, she's developing this sense of like watching her dad deal with public people and she's watching me. So I can only imagine like when you're on the road after you graduate high school and you're doing, I say this because I advocate all of the young artists in our community to go as hard as they possibly can because we need that representation.
We do, yes.
We do.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you answered that. Have you been back to Vietnam?
No, I have not. I was supposed to, but my school got pushed back 2 weeks, so I can't go.
Yeah.
But I really want to. I've always wanted to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Especially because my grandmother, she used to be a performer in Vietnam. And
what's her name?
I just know
Ban Noi. Ban Noi, okay.
Yeah. But
maybe we can ask Bắc Linh what's her name?
Tô
Loan.
Tô Loan. That's her stage name.
We have Bắc Linh sitting here. Bắc Linh sitting here giving us notes.
Yeah, you just made me realize I've only called her Ban Noi my whole life.
Yeah. Tô Loan. So you come from a lineage of artists.
Yeah, well, mostly just my grandmother. I think at least my sisters and my parents, they don't do music much. Well, I mean, my little sister does, but she did after me. But
right, and
yeah.
So it skipped a generation with your
Yeah, it did skip a generation.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think, how well do you speak Vietnamese?
I can understand it-ish.
All right, put another word, some more words of encouragement. I think you should really lean into it in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I think we're next in line. K-pop?
Yeah. I had a big
fashion.
K-pop phase.
Huh?
I had a big K-pop phase when I was younger.
Yeah. But we're next in line.
Yeah.
Right? So all these performers are coming out of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnamese fashion is like on the map. And I think we're next in line for all this pop stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And I think you're going to be leaving a lot of money on the table if you don't learn Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Like, get in with a tutor now, learn it. And I say this to all my audience too, is that the doors that will open up for all of you is unimaginable.
Yeah.
I was born in the United States. Mm-hmm. I can read, write, sing. Mm-hmm. I do all of that in Vietnamese. And it's opened up like major doors for me all around the world.
Yeah.
And I encourage you at 16 to...
Yeah.
Find a tutor, drop some ASV activities, and really lean into it. And I'll tell you why. Here's a perfect example. Do you know Rachel from The Voice?
Yeah.
She's in Vietnam. She's singing in Vietnamese now.
Yeah.
And she's been there for like 6 months or something like that. Her career is going to skyrocket as a result. And it's not that America is prejudiced or anything, but there's like so many Asian performers
that don't get the spotlight.
That don't get the spotlight.
That they deserve. Yeah.
And I know these producers tried. Mm-hmm. These real big producers, like they really try to give, whether they're black producers, white, Jewish producers, they give us chances.
Yeah.
But the buying public is not buying it, right?
Just,
I don't know why that's not happening, whether it's an Asian man or an Asian woman. But if you go back to Korea, you go back to Vietnam, and then you launch from there and you have like an American background, I mean, those are ways to really leverage our culture.
Yeah.
So I really encourage you to do as much as you can to learn Vietnamese.
I will.
Yeah. So what's next? What's next on the, the next few years for you? In your mind, when you think about your future in music, what do you think?
I definitely want to be, I think I want to produce an EP, I would say, in the next year. My producer, John, he produced for a lot of people, Lana Del Rey, Madonna. And I'm very grateful for the kind of creativity that he has given me early.
How do you meet a person like John?
How it pretty much was for a long time, I was posting on my Instagram throughout middle school, kind of, and throughout high school as well. And so from that, he found me just through some... one of the reels I posted, and we kind of had a conversation from there, and he's from the Philippines, and then he actually came to LA to have a dinner with me and my parents. We kind of talked to him, and I think, of course, I knew that he was an amazing producer, that he produced for all these great people, but I think the best part was how kind he was and how similar ideas we had, and how we both kind of wanted the same thing for music, for me as an artist. And I think that's what really drew me to work with him. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. And that's kind of when we started working on Iconic. We have a song coming in October called Play It Cool. I'm really excited for that one. And I hope in the next couple months, I'm writing a lot of songs. I'm writing a song with my guitarist, Hayden. I'm also working with another producer, Elliot. He's great. And we're kind of working on two songs right now. So there's a lot going on, but I mean, I'm hoping to produce an EP in the next, I would say, year.
That's amazing. And how do you How do you know, like, there's all these songs that you wrote, right? 10, 20 songs and rough drafts. How do you know Play It Cool is the one that you take to becoming an EP?
For me, I've actually been workshopping that idea for a very, very long time. I would say since freshman year, I did that thing where I started with one line and I kind of didn't like it at first. And then one night around a couple months ago, I was looking through my old notebook and I was like, wait, this is actually kind of cool. I wonder why I kind of stopped with this. And I kind of wrote more to that. I showed it to my producer and I said, hey, what do you think about this? And what's funny was the name was actually Cognitive Dissonance. But then he said, that might be a little wordy. And so we kind of workshop it. And then that's kind of where we came with Play It Cool. Because pretty much what it's about is it's this push and pull mindset of, once again, doing something or being a part of something that's not really good for you, but still wanting to do it, kind of.
Yeah.
And in a way, I kind of personified that feeling once again with, like, let's say you're talking to someone and you want them to call you, but they're not. So you're just going to wait and you're just playing it cool. So that's kind of the idea.
It's kind of like just a little bit like that iconic vibe.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say I'm excited for this one because it's a lot softer than iconic in a sense, but then at the end it gets bigger. So I'm really excited for that.
How do you deal with social media comments, feedback? Like, do you read all your comments? And
I do, but I mean, I remember in middle school when I was first posting my reels, I had a comment and it made me actually feel really self-conscious. I forgot what it was, but then now that I think about it, I'm saying this is like a middle-aged like dude who's balding. Why do I care? And at the end of the day, I think people who choose to write those kinds of comments, those such terrible comments. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the miserable people because I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what.
So when you're reading this stuff, you don't get affected. I get affected, and it's just it puts me in a spiral sometimes when I read stuff, you know, online. And I have to really, it's like cracked me though. I'm like, oh, I want to read it, but I know that, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But you can't, you know. But so I'm, you know, I wonder at your age, how do you deal with it?
I mean, for the most part, I kind of just block it. I mean, I let it. I mean, if it's critiques, I kind of take account and I'll say, okay, that is true. I could have worked on this, but then I don't take it too personally. I mean, I am a very sensitive person, so I try my best not to read comments. But I mean, for the most part, I just think that at the end of the day, I don't know these people, they don't know me, and I shouldn't really let it get to me, you know? That's kind of just the best way I deal with
it. What about at high school? How do you deal with, you know, people knowing what you do at school?
That's very funny because I actually try to hide it from everyone. I told nobody about my music. I actually didn't let any of my friends watch me until I think 3 shows ago. Before that, I did not let anyone watch me because I was so scared that I was going to get bullied. I was so scared because,
wow,
I mean,
interesting.
Music for me has been very, it's very
private.
Yeah, private. I don't even like when my parents play me singing and I hear it upstairs, I can hear it and I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear myself. I don't like listening to myself. And so I was very scared. But one of my friends said, oh, Ellie, you just popped on my For You page. And I was like, what? And that's kind of when it started. And then I actually, all my friends have, they've been so supportive and I'm really grateful for that. Everyone at school, they all come up to me and they've told me that they loved Iconic. Some of them have it in their playlist and I'm just so grateful for that kind of feedback. And I think that's also a big part as to why I want to do this is because I know I have a lot of good people backing me up. Yeah.
You and I talked about how a lot of modern social media artists are now clipping like 90 seconds or just like a minute of their songs.
Yeah. And even then shorter sometimes.
Even shorter, 15, 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they're just shooting it at like every random place. And they're just posting hundreds of these things. And the algorithms are just picking it up. Like I'll just like follow somebody and then all of a sudden I'll scroll and 20, 30 screens in, I'll see the same song, but in a different. And I know that your time is limited with high school. But that's one way to grow.
Consistency.
Consistency, right? So my question to you is, if that's a choice to grow and to really compound the growth of your thing, but you got ASB, you got all these clubs, right? If we as a community are rooting for you and we say, hey, Ella, we think that one day that you can blow up, but these are the, like the steps you got to do, but you got to give up on the other stuff, you know? Is that another part of the conversation that you think about?
That is something I do think about. And, but the thing is for me is, of course I take music seriously, but I also take account of the fact that I am still very young. I'm only 16 and I want to still be able to have those experiences and say, hey, I did this in high school. I made these connections. Cause I think a very big, I'm a very social person. I love being a part of these things. And I think just in general, being in all these different clubs and things like that, as well as just music too, it kind of builds a community. And I think so that's very important to me. I think being in these, I think I encourage everyone to try their best to kind of do something artistic, but also do something that makes you feel like you're helping the community, but also try to learn a little bit. I think that's a very big thing for me, I guess, is just trying to balance everything and make sure I stay a well-rounded person.
You know, I want to give props to your parents, but I also want you to give props to your parents because we don't get to see this often in our community.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see it now because your parents are younger and have a new generation of parenting. But I want to hear you tell the audience, because I think that there are other parents that are listening and they're probably skeptical about bringing their child into the performing arts.
Yeah.
Can you give me some background about, you know, their support and their love for you?
I think my parents have always been my number one cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny because sometimes when I'm too tired and I don't want to do a gig, I'll have my dad tell me, come on, it's a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. Just do it. And I'll say, okay, I'll do it. And I think just as a child, knowing that your parents are there to support you, it's such a huge thing. And I think that's a big reason as to why I think that I can do this. I think that I can pursue this career and just because I have my parents with me, you know? And I think it's very important for children to have that support growing up and not having to feel like they're disappointing their parents, but just to feel like they're loved and that, because I think that kind of love, it grows into the child and it makes them just in general a happier and better person, I think.
Totally. Yeah. Totally agree with that. Do they ever push for a plan, like a plan B in your life? Like if music was plan A, do they push?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. I mean,
safety.
Safety. I mean, of course. But overall, plan A is always to be a musician.
What's plan B?
To go to law school. I'm actually very interested in law and kind of the crime side. I would want to be a prosecutor.
Got it. Like your dad.
Yeah.
Got it. That's amazing. Very different than
very different from the music scene. But I know a lot of lawyers who are actually artists. My cousin, she's in law school and she's an artist. Yeah.
Okay,
her name's Eva. She's great. She's amazing. The stuff that she does is awesome.
There's a few Vietnamese young women that are in our scene right now. Evelyn.
Yeah.
Melin. She sings for Phantom of the Opera right now.
Yeah.
Do you know who she is?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah. But she's an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there is Rachel from The Voice. And then there's Cheyenne Nguyen. She was a young actress. And she started when she was like 12.
Yeah.
One of her uncles is a film director named Stefan Gauger. And he passed away. But I interviewed her when, I think when she was around your age. She said the same thing to me that really, now that you're saying it to me, that really stuck with me. And I think it's important that the audience can understand what this is. You said that you held back that information from your school, you know? And she said the same thing too.
Yeah.
Cheyenne said the same thing. And I think when I talked to Rachel, I think at one point she said the same thing too. And I think that that's really important to protect that.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a balancing act. It's like you're trying to get the word out.
Yeah, but then you also don't want it to reach the wrong crowd. And I think it's because, I mean, especially as a kid, it's just the thought of having to face bullying, or if you have faced it before, I think it's just so scary because you're really putting yourself out there. I mean, creative work, it can, you either love it or you hate it, you know? And I think if you hear from them at school saying, oh, this sucks, I mean, it really can. It damages.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I'm like an old man and it damages me.
Yeah.
It bruises me. It really puts me into a tailspin. I can't imagine what it is for. But then again, if you're young, maybe that resiliency that you have as a young person can really build the layers of like handling that pressure at this age, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a good thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ella, thank you so much for coming on today. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I have a release coming in October on the 14th, so look out for that.
Okay, and how do we find your profile on Instagram or social?
On all my socials, I'm Ella Quinn Singh, and on Spotify, I'm Ella Quinn. And yeah.
Okay, so Ella, E-L-L-A-Q-U-Y-N-H?
Yes.
Sings.
Yes.
Okay. Eloquent. That's how I think of, yeah. Eloquent sings. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the
thank
podcast.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Crystal Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.